online on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse. RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as per usual here on the show, every so often we take a look at what is taking place in terms of sexual health, what you need to know, and what you may need to be aware of as well. In studio with me, I am delighted to have Dr. Shay Keating of the Harold's Cross Surgery in studio. Shay, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Shay, let's have a bit of a chat about recent developments in terms of HIV/AIDS. There have been two big stories that have popped up in the news recently. One is about an interesting kick and kill cure for AIDS. This is a theory. So for the listeners tuned in tonight, don't get your hopes up too quickly, at least. But there is a Danish university that has come across research that they could be one step closer towards finding a cure for HIV/AIDS. That we'll talk about in just a second. Earlier on, however, the World Health Organization came out with quite a surprising recommendation that all gay and bisexual men should be on a course of what's called in the United States Truvada, but here we know it as PrEP. First of all, Shay, tell us a bit more about PrEP. We've mentioned it on the show before, but
we have, Scott. Yeah, prophylaxis in medicine means prevention.
Right.
Okay. And there are two types of prevention in medicine. We have something called PEP, which is post-exposure.
Hmm.
So the commonest use, we'd say, that most would be aware of for post-exposure prophylaxis would be something like the morning after pill for a woman to try and prevent pregnancy. And in HIV medicine, if you have an exposure, there is medicine we can give. But PrEP is the opposite. It's PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, giving somebody medication to prevent something, prevent an infection before the actual exposure. And I suppose the commonest PrEP people think about is malaria prophylaxis. Well, you know, when you go to somewhere like sub-Saharan Africa where malaria is endemic, people go there and take medication to stop themselves getting malaria, knowing that they will probably get it if they don't take medication.
Okay, right.
Okay, so if you move that back to HIV medicine, we know we've got post-exposure prophylaxis, but we've also got pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Mm.
Medicine you can take to prevent yourself getting HIV, you know, if you're going out having sex and you just want to guarantee you won't get it.
Mm.
And I suppose the drug we commonly use for PrEP is a drug called Truvada. And Truvada itself is a combination of two drugs. One is called tenofovir and the other is called emtricitabine. And they both target the same enzyme that kind of blocks the HIV replication, basically, or making copies of itself inside the body's T helper cell. So Truvada is an excellent drug. It's a very, very good drug. And we use it as part of what we call the backbone of most HIV treatment regimes that we have people on at the moment for treating HIV for those that are HIV positive.
Okay.
But there is a move. There's been a suggestion that some people could actually avoid HIV by taking the Truvada all of the time.
Mm.
Now, there are obviously pros and cons to that. And I think I'm kind of surprised that the World Health Organization would make such a global comment, because number one, all medications have side effects.
Mm.
And the pharmacists out in the community will correct me if I'm wrong, but if you take an aspirin for long enough, you will get an upset stomach and maybe an ulcer. If you take paracetamol in excess, you could develop liver disease. So every single drug, if you look at the inside of a box of any medication, you see a list of side effects.
Right.
And Truvada as a drug is no different.
Okay.
It's one thing taking a drug when you need to take it.
Mm.
Okay, if you need to suppress your HIV in the body, it's great to take something that can do that. And there's a balance between the benefit of taking the drug versus the risk.
Right. Okay.
So I think it's an unusual balance to take a drug with potentially long-term side effects unless there's a very good benefit.
Mm.
To me, the risks are too high.
One of the things that we hear fairly common in terms of medication, just generally speaking, not necessarily just in terms of sexual health, but that there is this. It's not just an idea; it is a fact that the body can develop a sort of tolerance towards certain medications. Could that be the case in terms of HIV medication, especially for the likes of Truvada?
Well, it could be. I mean, if you're HIV positive, it's really, really important that you take a medication when advised.
Mm.
So something like Truvada would be taken once a day, okay? The problem is that to maintain the suppression of your virus, in the body, you need to have be well up there in the 90% adherence rate. So then if you drop below 90%, you are going to develop resistance to that drug. Okay, that is, you know, is a worry for people who are HIV positive on medication. But my worry is if you have people who are taking Truvada and they're taking it for PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, if they don't take it regularly, don't take it at the appropriate time, my worry is that they will be exposed to HIV when the levels of Truvada they've got in the blood is suboptimal, and theoretically they could be resistant to Truvada. And if we factor a resistance to Truvada into our armamentarium or the drugs we have available to treat HIV, that would be a huge loss. It would be a very, very big loss for us. That's number one. Number two, people forget that when you're taking pre-exposure prophylaxis, it's costly. It's one thing taking a very cheap antibiotic to prevent malaria, but it's certainly a different matter when you're taking a drug that could potentially cost €500 a month.
Well, this is one of the other things I was going to ask anyway, was that, you know, the cost that's involved, not just for the patient, or I guess in this case, it could be just a regular person that's deciding to go on this, but also for the various different, you know, health systems that are in various different countries. In certain countries, you and I know well that this medication is just not available.
Absolutely not.
Could it create something like a two-tier or even possibly a three-tier?
But there's already a two-tier system, you know, available. In the underdeveloped countries where they can't access meds as well as they should, as well as they could. That's certainly a problem.
And it kind of shows that there is a certain flaw in the logic, from my perspective at least, in terms of what the World Health Organization is recommending. Surely there should be someone within that organization who realises, hold on, this isn't exactly practical on a global level.
No, absolutely, it's not practical on a global level. And if you can imagine, as I said, you're taking your Truvada and, you know, you're not taking this as you should, it is going to cause problems. You will definitely have difficulties. And I personally don't think it's a good idea to be giving a message to, I'm not targeting gay men, but just to a group of men of sex and men and saying, okay, you take your Truvada, you won't get HIV. That is the case. But like, people forget that syphilis, hepatitis B, there are a lot of other illnesses out there that if you get can cause serious clinical issues. And if you're giving that message out there, don't worry about safer sex, you're taking your Truvada, you won't get HIV, that to me is very foolhardy.
Been,
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there have been suggestions that intravenous drug users should be put on Truvada as well to prevent HIV. Now that to me is absolute madness. Put a hugely expensive drug to a cohort of people whose adherence on medication can be, you know, not ideal at the best of times. And I think it's fraught with difficulty.
Either way, it's extremely surprising. For me, just coming across this news as a regular, you know, news consumer, if that makes sense, you know, let alone someone who would be an expert in this. So I'm slightly relieved that we seem to be on the same page here, Shay. Let's move on to something slightly different and just briefly. Recently, the news broke at the World AIDS Conference that is taking place in Melbourne this year. It saw a glimmer of hope for AIDS sufferers thanks to the work of a Danish university. The conference heard that a pilot study by HIV researchers in Denmark showed that an anti-cancer drug can activate hidden HIV. The researchers from Aarhus University described the first stages of what has become known as a kick-and-kill policy, where the aim is to force the virus out of its hiding place in cells and then kill the virus and destroy the hiding place. Is this something new, or is it entirely new?
We've been working, not we personally, but scientists and clinicians throughout the world have been working on this for some time. Since HIV was identified in 1984, you know, the whole aim was to get to a stage where we could eradicate HIV from the body. That's the goal. And with medication at the moment, we can actually put people in a situation whereby their virus is undetectable in the blood. So if you're on the appropriate medication, you're theoretically non-infectious, because the virus isn't in semen or isn't in blood or in genital secretions. So that's obviously fantastic for the patient, because if you're undetectable, your virus isn't causing your immune system any damage. Right. But the problem is, if you have somebody and you start them on anti-HIV medication, and then after a period of time, probably after 6 months, they're virally suppressed, as we say, and they're undetectable. If you stop that medication, the virus will rebound. So obviously the virus isn't in the blood itself. It's hidden away in other tissues, in other organs in the body. So that's in a... you know, a very exciting area of research, because what we want to do now is to get the virus to come out of those areas so that we can kill it. So it's at the moment the drugs aren't actually targeting the organs that the tissues that the virus is hiding in. So what we're trying to do is get the virus to pop out so we can kill it.
Right.
And it's very, very exciting that there are new drugs coming online that are potentially doing that. They're kicking the virus out of their hiding places and killing the virus off.
Either way, it's a very, very interesting time in terms of the progression of the medication and also the research into the virus.
Hugely exciting.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's a hopeful time, and hopefully we'll have a bit more positive news on the subject the next time you're in. But in the meantime, Dr. Shane Keating, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah, very welcome, Scott.
And of course, if anyone wants to find out more information about yourself, or indeed more information on sexual health, they can visit stdclinic.ie.
Online, on DAB, on Fairview, and on UPC, Channel 943. This is
RTE Pulse.